meant, and the thundering of my heart in my chest. I can get it myself, she snips, when I try to open the passenger side door for her. She wrestles her way into my car, plopping down with little grace so that the hem of her skirt lifts up her slim thighs. I swear this woman was put on earth to tempt me. No problem, I mutter, closing the door after her and then getting in on the driver's side. I'd like to say that we launch into conversation after that, that we somehow find ourselves as we were before we kissed, before I knew that her body was my version of heaven. Not the case. Instead, we spend the next 10 minutes in silence on the way to her house in Somerville. I palm the wheel and pull into her driveway. There aren't any lights on in the house. I'm sorry. In the shadows of my car, I see her head whip around to me. What? I shift uncomfortably in my seat. Apologizing has never been my thing. I'm sorry, I reiterate, my fingers tightening on the steering wheel. For what I did back at the box. For embarrassing you. Andre, want to know something? She doesn't wait for me to answer, just plows forward. Your little stunt in front of your teammates is nothing compared to what I went through last year. I know. The words almost leave me, but I damn well know that they're inadequate. I have no excuses for leaving her out in the cold the way I did in Detroit. My only defense, and it's a weak one at that, is that I was so consumed by what was going on in my life that there was no room to consider everyone else. More than that, though, was the underlying realization that I was no good for Zoe McKenzie. Not then, and certainly not now. But you want her. Always. I've always wanted her. And that makes me a shitty person. Her echoing laugh is caustic. Still nothing to say to that? She chuffs harshly. Of course you don't. King Senbin would never lower himself to talk about Fuck that. You really want to talk about this right now, Zoe? You're never going to talk about it otherwise. She snaps in return. Maybe if you think I'm too drunk to remember, you'll finally open up for once. Too drunk to remember? That sentence right there tells me that she isn't as wasted as she'd like me to believe. Which is fine. If she wants to do this right now, then we will. I twist the keys out of the ignition, then throw them up onto the dashboard. The interior of the car plunges into darkness. Her sharp intake of breath reaffirms what I already know. We need the shadows. The darkness. In the sunlight, we risk too much of ourselves. I couldn't stay, so. She doesn't react to the shortened form of her name. No, she says stiffly. You wouldn't stay. We both know that you got exactly what you wanted from me. As soon as you got it, as soon as it blew up in your face, you dipped out. As much as it hurts to know she thinks that, I'm firmly aware of the fact that I never gave her a reason to believe otherwise. It wasn't just sex between us, Zoe. We were friends. Friends don't have sex, Andre, and they certainly don't leave the moment things get rough. Rough didn't even begin to explain it. My life had been torn at the seams. Zoe had been the balm I needed, the balm I craved. But sex had complicated that. And my life had already been too complicated. You're right, I tell her, because it's true. I'm not going to defend myself and tell you lies. I lower my voice. I shouldn't have left you to deal with everything alone. You are my friend, and I let you down. The passenger's seat squeaks as though she's dropped down. Can you tell me why? She swallows, then clears her throat. There was one day. You were home. Your car was outside, after everything. I came by to see you, and you didn't answer when I rang the doorbell. You just let me stand out there like an idiot. Why? Because I was too busy having my heart ripped out. I must hesitate too long because she gives a deep sigh that speaks to her disappointment. Never mind. Just never mind. Her hand goes to the door to open it, and panic hits me like a freight train. The thought of her leaving steals my breath. I can't. I shake my head, needing the words and yet finding none. If I could tell you, I would, Zoe. I would. But it isn't. Something happened and I can't relive it. I don't want to relive it. Even if it meant we could get back to where we were, even if it meant that I no longer looked at you like a cold-hearted asshole? Knowing that she feels that way about me makes me feel lower than scum. I rub my chest, hoping to ease the growing ache. I'm sorry, Zoe, I tell her softly. I just can't. She doesn't respond. Instead, she cranks open the door and clambers out, her fingers going to her skirt to hold it in place. She leaves me alone. I laugh, low and miserably. Because the irony is a killer. The man who everyone thinks is a stone-faced emotional ice block isn't. I lower the window, seeking the cool air to hit my face. I'm holding on to a thread here, and I have the sickening feeling that I just cut loose my last hope for happiness.
Chapter 14. Zoe. 16 days left. You know what I think? Fuck André Beaumont. Yep, I said it. I'm living the no-regret lifestyle over here, and thus far, it's utterly fantastic. In the 3 days since I've seen Mr. Sinbin himself, I've taken out a new meaning on life. No more living in the past. No more waiting, hoping that André will one day open his eyes and realize that he ruined a perfectly good friendship, or something more, with kissing me like he never wanted to stop. No more hoping that we'll ever get back to the place that we were. Nope. I'm living life to the fullest for myself, and it feels great. Magnificent, actually. I've had dinner with Charlie, helped my dad out at Vittoria, willingly, and taken Tia to the mall to stroll around and have some much-needed girl time. Hell, I even dragged Shelby along to look at apartments in the area, and I think I may have found the perfect one. Is it as large as my old condo in Detroit? No. Does it have nice features like marble kitchen tops or stainless steel appliances? Negative. Do I care? Not one bit. After work tonight, I'll be putting in my offer to get on Tia's good side, since I had originally agreed to stay at the home front with her. I promised sleepovers for her and her girlfriends every weekend for the next 3 months. I don't think I've been so happy in a long time, and that in itself feels amazing. Hey, Zoe? I glance up at Gwen, who is hovering in the doorway to my office. Since the game the other night, she's taken to popping up here and there to chat. Never about work-related stuff, though. Instead, it seems she's found a friend in me, which is both nice and also terrifying at the same time. Gwen is, after all, a terrifying woman. I hastily click out of the listing for the apartment on my desktop, thankful that she can't see the computer screen from where she stands. Hey, Gwen. Everything okay? Her usual confident composure slips as she sways side to side on her heels. Mr. Collins would like to see you for a moment. My heart drops. Oh, God. I'm about to be fired. Does he know that I've been apartment hunting on Craigslist during my lunch breaks? Idiot. With that thought in mind, I shut down the desktop completely. Sure, I squeak. Yeah, absolutely. I throw a notebook and pen into my bag, hooking the strap over my shoulder. Any idea what it's about? Gwen averts her gaze, and then I know. I'm doomed. Done for. Fired. Goodbye, not-so-beautiful apartment that isn't even mine yet. Goodbye, excitement about life. Am I being melodramatic? Yes. Yes, I am. With lead for feet, I follow Gwen down the bright hallway to Walter Collins' office at the opposite end. She gives a quick 1-2 knock and then slips the door open. You have her? Mr. Collins calls out from the interior of his office. I suck in a deep breath and pretend that I'm not about to pass out. Gwen and I quietly enter the office, and it's with a jolt of shock that I realize André is already seated across from my boss. Deja vu. But reversed. His dark head twists as he turns to look at me, and his equally as dark eyes pin me in place. I wish I could read the emotion swirling there. Wish I could do more than just stand here, my feet cemented to the floor, my hands slick with sudden nerves.
Come on in, come on in,
Mr. Collins says, waving Gwen and I in.
Pull up two chairs.
Before I have the chance to do just that, Andre jumps up.
I've got it,
he says, voice low.
Zoe, take mine.
My gaze cuts to Walter, who is watching me like a hawk. He thinks he knows what's up, that Andre and I are knocking boots again. Ha! Little does he know that he couldn't be further from the truth. Andre's biceps flex under his t-shirt as he deposits two chairs, one on either side of his original one.
Take whichever one you want.
Why is he being so nice? Maybe it's wrong for that to be my first thought, but after our last confrontation, this cordial version of Andre Beaumont has me raising my hackles and wondering what he has planned up his sleeve.
Sit down, everyone.
At Mr. Collins' no-nonsense tone, both Gwen and I drop into the nearest chairs, leaving the NHL's sexiest bad boy to practically clamber over my left armrest to retake his seat. Then we're all sitting, waiting, like naughty schoolchildren who have been caught in the wrong.
All right.
Walter snaps his binder shut and touches his computer mouse to bring the desktop to life.
We need to have a discussion.
God help us all. My fingers twitch on the armrest, just as Andre shifts his weight, leaning close to me. His elbow brushes my hand, and I so wish that I didn't feel that immediate connection throughout my body. What I think Mr. Collins is trying to say is... At Walter's sharp glance, Gwen falls silent. Then he looks at me. Yeah, that warm, tingly feeling from when Andre accidentally touched me? Gone. Non-existent. If anything, I'm feeling a sudden chill.
Ms. McKenzie,
Mr. Collins murmurs.
When you first began, you assured me that you had everything under control. That fixing up a celebrity's failing image was something you've done on the regular.
Yes, I answer slowly. I did say that. As much as I want to defend myself, the situation calls for me to keep quiet and listen. Men like Walter Collins get off on their power trips. There's no way that saying anything at this point will do me any favors.
If that's the case, then I would like for you to look at something and let me know why you thought this would be even reasonably acceptable for our client.
With a few clicks of the mouse, he pulls up a file. With stiff motions, he flicks the volume up on a miniature stereo, clicks on the mouse another time, and then angles the desktop so that we can very clearly see what's going on. Music blares from the speakers before the video starts to roll. There's no mistaking the upbeat voice of Justin Bieber. Andre's knee lurches into mine, and at first, I think it might have been an accident, but no, it's not. I inch my leg away, and he spreads his right leg over, so his right thigh is pressed to my leg. The cat-and-mouse game ensues, but dies a quick death when the otherwise black screen cuts to its first shot. Oh. My. God.
Motherfuck.
With a kick of my foot against his, I quickly shut Andre up. Gwen giggles hysterically on the opposite end of our lineup, and I don't even know what to say aside from the fact that Andre seriously makes a Speedo look good. Damn. The B-roll of Andre standing about in practically his birthday suit pans to an image of him causing hell on the ice. His gloved fists clench the hockey stick before he drops it to the ice. Then it's him against his opponent as they grapple for a hold of each other's jerseys. His helmet goes flying, and a trickle of blood starts at the corner of his mouth. But his eyes are as black as the nighttime sky as he pummels the other player with his fists.
I've been playing hockey since I was 4,
Andre says in the clip's voiceover.
My dad handed me a stick, told me to get into the net. Man, I sucked there. Never found my stride until I was allowed to fly down the rink.
The camera cuts back to him wearing nothing but the Speedo. This time, however, he's holding a hockey stick behind his head, clamped against the back of his neck. The posture elongates his sturdy torso, ripples his abs, and clenches his thighs. His thighs. I gulp at the massive bulge at the apex of those thighs. I need air. Maybe some water. Maybe a new set of panties. Please don't judge me. The video goes on for at least another minute. More scenes from the ice, More close-ups of Andre wearing next to nothing as he swaggers around Fame's studio. All the while, the magazine's editor coaxes information out of him.
First time I kissed a girl?
He chuckles low, and weird as it is that he's sitting beside me, I'm rooted to my chair, watching him on the small screen as his lips quirk up into a devilish smile.
Kindergarten. I traded her a packet of Skittles for a kiss. Pretty sure I got the better end of the bargain, but she didn't complain. Crazy thing I wished I'd never done?
His gaze casts down, a big hand coming up to rub his bare chest.
Nipple rings. Had them done when I was reckless and 19. I thought they'd be a chick magnet. Unfortunately, I got a bad infection and had to take them out before anyone had the chance to appreciate them. A time when a woman broke my heart?
His Adam's apple bobs down his thick neck.
That one is too personal. I hope you understand.
The idea of a woman breaking Andre's heart makes me feel a little sick. I swallow against the lump in my throat. I guess I didn't think he'd ever allow a woman close enough to break his heart. The video and Justin Bieber ends in acute silence. I wonder how obvious it would be if I launched myself out the window behind Mr. Collins.
Did you approve of this video, Miss McKenzie?
Mr. Collins asks, breaking the quiet. The window is looking better with every second that passes. To be fair, I start awkwardly. Fame's editor was adamant that I remain in the waiting room, which now makes sense. At the time, I'd only been too happy to get away from Andre after our little elevator incident. Sitting in a separate room which overlooked Manhattan's skyline, with a cup of tea in hand, had been just the slice of reprieve I'd needed.
You're his publicist,
Mr. Collins seethes.
Your entire job is to make sure he doesn't come off in a bad light.
I cringe. I wouldn't say that Mr. Beaumont looks bad in that video. No, if anything, he looked way too good. Delicious, even. Trust me when I say that the entire female population would say he looks bad in the best way possible. Since I can't say that, I settle for... And I was under the impression that everything was well received by Mr. Beaumont. Otherwise, he would have said something. Mr. Collins' accusing gaze swings to Andre. Andre, mind you, only shrugs his big shoulders.
The Speedo was tighter than I liked, but other than that, it was fine.
See? I murmur. Everything was fine. Fame's team did a fantastic...
Mr. Beaumont, I hope you won't take offense to this, but you looked ridiculous.
My mouth falls open. Now, wait a second, Mr. Collins. Andre opened up in that interview. Andre's hand lands on my own, and I'm so shocked by the sudden contact that I grow quiet. His dark eyes roam my face, searching, seeking something I don't understand, before he glances away. His hand, however, remains on mine. Oh, boy.
Mr. Collins,
he says stiffly.
I get what you're trying to say, honestly. I agree with you. I put up a hell of a fight because I didn't want to do something with Fame. Stripping down to a Speedo that can barely hold my junk isn't my idea of a good time. With that said, I knew exactly what Miss McKenzie aimed to do when that interview was scheduled.
My boss's eyes narrow.
And what exactly is that?
To strip down my walls and to make me look vulnerable to the public, something that I don't do.
He pauses, and his thumb traces the back of my hand.
That's what Miss McKenzie wanted with this interview. Is it fucking ridiculous? Absolutely. Do I want the world to see me in a bathing suit that barely fit? No. But this openness is what my career needs.
I don't know what to say. I press my free hand to my lower belly. Right now, it feels like old times. All those times Andre had my back, all those times I had his. Desperately, I want to flip my palm over and squeeze his hand in return, to show him that I'm here. Hell, I've been here. Maybe this is what we needed to come back together. Mr. Walter effing Collins. Who knew that he would be the tie to unite us?
Chapter 15. Andre. 13 days left. If there's one thing that I hate in life, it's lifting weights. Even if I'm doing so in my personal gym, in my own house. Give me a running track any day of the week. Hell, drop me in the godforsaken Berkshires out in western Massachusetts and I'll be happier than I am while pumping iron. It's the repetitive motion that kills me. The repetitive breathing techniques and the repetitive number of reps. It's the fact that I'm stuck in one singular spot, driving myself up a wall since my thoughts can never be silenced. And right now? Yeah, my thoughts aren't so sweet. They aren't so holy. Having Zoe McKenzie back in my life is certifiably making me insane. The heavy iron dips to the right as my thoughts simultaneously go off kilter, and I'm forced to realign my balance or end up with another broken nose. Not that it would do all that much damage, since the damn thing has been pummeled by gloved fists and plexiglass boards for the last 9 years of my life. Shoulder blades clenching against my cushioned bench, my muscles tighten into balled coils as I inhale and allow the bar to skim my chest. Stop thinking about Zoe. Exhale. Stop thinking about her naked and riding you. Inhale. Stop thinking about her naked and not riding you. Exhale. My steadied breathing breaks its rhythm and I shove the iron up and onto its slot. Sweat gathers on my skin like droplets of verified success for a job well done. Ironic, because for the last year of my life nothing has gone as planned. And from the looks of things, shit isn't going to turn around anytime soon. I ignore the familiar pain that settles in my chest with a brisk rub of my palm. Nothing I'm not used to, but since the pain is emotional and not physical, it's not like a couple trips to physical therapy can axe the feeling and put my world back to rights. Honestly, I don't even think I know what right feels like any longer. Then again, right was sticking up for Zoe the other day in front of Walter Collins. Right was touching her hand and hearing her sigh of relief. Right was having her back and being the support she needs, as a friend. Whatever recent thoughts I've been having of us together, crazy, insane thoughts, need to be cut loose. I was right to call the no-sex rule between us at the start of the month, but I should have added another. No wondering what it might be like to be with Zoe McKenzie. Full-time, unprofessionally. Co-workers, friends at the most. That's all. Throwing my legs over the side of the bench, I straighten into a seated position. I need protein, a shower, and a beer, not necessarily in that order. With slow-tempered movements, I come off the bench and stretch my beaten limbs. Pop, pop. My shoulders creak, the tendons snapping back into position like an elastic band that's seen better days, which is a fair assessment of my body's status quo. At 30, I feel more like I'm 60 on any given day. Snagging my discarded t-shirt from the floor, I shrug it on over my head and head down the hallway of my two-story house. I don't own the place, preferring instead to rent it out. When my career has been as unstable as it has been for the last 2 years, there's no reason to shore up with a mortgage. My feet pad down the carpeted steps. The echoing pop-pops alert me to the fact that, like my shoulders, my knees are hating life too right about now. One more season. After that, I'll take my ass down to the Caribbean and set up shop on a white beached island, drinking Jose Cuervo until I can obliterate my thoughts for good. I'm busy picturing my life in Turks and Caicos when my doorbell rings. Feet slowing to a stop, I turn and head for the door instead. I had no plans for company, not that I usually do. The night at the box with Zoe was an anomaly. My teammates tend to leave me be, unless I voluntarily place myself in their path. Once a week, I strap on my big boy pants and head down to the box. It's my 3 hours of bonding time, usually spent drinking one too many whiskeys and cokes and pretending that I'm fine. That everything is fine. But none of the guys ever come to my house. To be honest, I'm not even sure they know where I live, unless they've turned Chatty Cathy with one of the white shirts and asked for my personal records. My hand clasps the doorknob, and with a single tug, I blink against the startling sunlight. Lust hits me straight in the gut. God damn it. My eyes focus on Zoe's face, and it takes everything in me to keep my expression neutral. Blank. Don't let her see how much you want her here. If I scare her a little bit, that's probably for the best. In a voice more husky than I intended, I say, "What are you doing here?" Her heart-shaped face tips up in defiance. It's so like her, to go down arms swinging until she's already 6 feet under. "Can't I come to say hello?" she says, sounding sweet and demure and everything else that I know she isn't. Zoe is as tough as I am, and just as sharp-tongued. Sure, she might play the innocent girl next door, but I've seen her in action. I've seen her work a crowd to get what she wants. I've experienced her working me. And while my cock might like to see her working me for another round, I know that sex isn't the reason why she's here. Not even after the way I stood up for her to her boss. The way he'd accused her of failing at her job had lit a fire inside of me. Zoe works harder than anyone I know. Hell, since she's taken me on as a client, she hasn't stopped working. My hand lands on the doorframe, blocking her entry into my house. "You don't say hello, Zoe," I say in reference to her greeting. "The last time you popped up unannounced, we were in Detroit." Her long black hair, which is tied back in one of those female hair clips, slips over her shoulder when she tilts her head. "I have some news." "Yeah?" I murmur, my fingers digging into the wooden framework. "Have you decided that I'm a lost cause? I hear another sponsor pulled out." "It sucks, especially since Fame's video has hit the national media circuit. While everyone fans over and points out my crotch in the Speedo, there are less people commenting on the actual interview, on my attempt to be more personable, to open up for once. If Zoe sees the disappointment in my expression, she doesn't mention it. Instead, her lips tip up in a smile that I don't quite trust. "You did lose another one this morning, but I have a plan." Zoe and plans go about as well together as kindling and fire. Straight up, her plans are more likely to combust than to put out the already blazing flames. I comb my fingers through my hair and I tug at the strands in frustration. Not another feature piece with Fame, right? My masculinity can only take so much blush, foundation, and concealer. "Don't forget the Speedo." Laughter climbs my throat. Pretty sure there's a certain part of me that will never forget that horror. Her cheeks bloom with a pretty blush, and I'm not surprised at all when she changes the topic slightly. "I'm surprised you even know what concealer is." "I don't. Not really. But I know enough that it's supposed to hide the dark circles under your eyes. I figure I'm a lost cause on that front, but only because sleep eludes me on a near-nightly basis." "Is this where I pretend I have no idea what you're talking about to preserve my masculinity?" I say, leaning my shoulder against the frame to stare down at her. I'd offer to prove it, but I'm not up for rejection today. Her cheeks turn even more pink, and satisfaction flares through me. It never fails. Teasing Zoe is the highlight of my day. Shifting side to side on her mile-high stiletto, she purses her lips. "Can we be professional for a moment?" I lift a brow, knowing it'll drive her crazy. "I'm professional, Zoe." "When it suits you." "Is there any other way?" "You could, you know, try being pleasant for once." I can't help it. She's so buttoned up, so Miss High and Mighty, despite the fact that her childhood was anything but. And Jesus, but her snippy attitude turns me on as much now as it did when we first met 2 years ago. Maybe that's the only reason that I shift my weight and let my hands rest on the top of the doorframe. I see her hollowed-out breath the moment that I feel my T-shirt rise above the waistband of my shorts. How am I not being polite? I didn't slam the door in your face. We're having a perfectly nice conversation. Am I supposed to start whipping puppies out of thin air next, or what? She steps near, edging closer until she's right in front of me. And then, because Zoe McKenzie is nothing if not an unbreakable hard-ass, her fingers find the hem of my shirt and tug down. "You're trying to distract me, Andre. I know your game, but it's not going to work. Let me in the house." The feminine scent of citrus accosts my nose, and it's so strong and so fresh that I'm tempted to throw caution to the wind and wrap my arms around her in a hug. My fingers dig into the frame, and I fix my gaze on her face. "You gonna say the magic word?" "Abracadabra," she says dryly, her fingers still tangled in the cotton of my shirt. Open sesame. I let go of the frame with one hand, then close my fingers over hers. Those weren't the magical words I was talking about. Please. As much as I like to hear you say that word, Zoe, that's not it either. She jolts when I use my hold on her to tug her close, closer than she expected until her willowy curves press against my chest. The hitch of her breath rings like victory in my ears. How about we try this one more time, eh? Repeat after me.
I'm not repeating anything, she mutters, the words muffled thanks to the fact that she's speaking into my clavicle.
Sure you will. My fingers release hers. Now, repeat after me. Andre, you are a god among men. Her laugh is just as contagious as I remember it. There is no way I'm saying that. Don't make me encourage you. I just worked out and I'm sweaty. Now there's a threat, she says, still laughing. Her dark eyes fix on my chest, and the close scrutiny makes me uncomfortable. I'm good with everything as long as it remains surface level. No drudging up the past. No deep talks about the future. But then Zoe leans in close, and her free hand lands on my chest just over my heart. Maybe it's accidental, but her nail scrapes across my pectoral muscle, and desire shoots straight to my groin. Her lips find my right ear, and she whispers,
You're right, Andre. You are such a god among men, which is why I need you to do exactly as I say if you don't want to end up a mere mortal like the rest of us.
Then she firmly plants her hand on my chest and pushes her way into my house.
Chapter 16. Zoe. My heart hammers in my chest as I step inside Andre's home. I hate the way he can push me to my limits within just 5 minutes of being in his presence. I hate the way he can turn my dislike for him into something that feels a lot more like lust, want, more. All right, I'll be honest. I want more of Andre. More of the guy who stuck up for me in front of Walter Collins. More of the guy who makes me feel giddy with laughter. But he's not willing to open up, so wanting anything more really doesn't do much for me. My gaze latches onto a photograph on an entryway table, and the sound of my stilettos beating into the marble floor quiets as I roll to a stop. Bright blue eyes blink back at me from within the frame. The kid is maybe 2 years old, more toddler than anything else, with a bright smile and messy brown hair. Your nephew? I ask Andre over my shoulder. He's cute. Andre moves silently toward the table, his hand outreached. His long, tapered fingers pause mere inches from the black frame before curling into a fist.
Yeah.
His arm falls back to his side.
He is.
One quick look at his face tells me that he's uncomfortable with the direction of the conversation. I want to pry, to dig a little deeper into why his mouth has flatlined, but I doubt I'll get anywhere. Andre Beaumont is not a talker, something I learned quite well in his car the other night. With one last glance at the young boy, I twist away and motion to the house's grand entryway. The ceiling is 20 feet tall, and a wrought iron spiral staircase winds up to the second floor. A decorative chandelier hangs about 4 feet above my head. You sure decided to live in style when you came to Boston, didn't you? His house back in Detroit was a lot more modest, a historic Victorian that had seen better days. But it was cozy and sleepy, a perfect place for a man who spent the majority of his year on the road.
It works for now,
Andre tells me. He shows me his back as he heads into the room next door, which turns out to be the kitchen. To hell with it. I can't help but pry, just a little. Because this is your last season, and you have no plans to stick around? The look he gives me would probably cower a lesser person. But I know Andre, both as a person as well as in the biblical sense. So I stand my ground and wait him out. He'll give in. He always does. With a sigh, he runs his fingers through his messy black hair.
You're annoying as all hell sometimes, you know that?
I'll take that as a compliment, thank you very much. Out loud, I say, someone sounds cranky this morning. His mouth pulls down.
I just worked out.
Against my better judgment, I let myself drink in his appearance. He wasn't lying when he said he was sweaty. His cheeks are still flushed from activity, his t-shirt damp with perspiration. As always, his jaw is unshaven, and I have the absurd urge to walk up to him and run my hand over the stubble to see if it's as abrasive to the touch as it looks.
If you only came here to ogle me, Zoe, I would have at least showered for you.
The sound of Andre's voice snaps me out of my, blatant perusal, and heat warms my cheeks. I'm not...
You are,
he returns silkily.
And you did.
I wave my hand at his body as if that's answer enough. Words, beautiful things that they are, have fled my brain. Andre's mouth tugs up into a rare grin, and he kicks away from the counter to swagger over to me. And yes, it's a swagger. Hips slung low, chin dipped low. At the look of intent in his dark eyes, alarm bells spring into magnifying gongs, warning me to back the hell up and escape. I don't have the chance. Before I can even recognize what's going on, his arm wraps around my waist and pulls me in close. My cheek ends up plastered to his hard-as-a-rock pectoral muscles. Oh, my God, I whisper. His palms settle on my shoulder blades.
Say it with me now, honey. Andre, you are a god among men.
I don't know whether to laugh or to stab him with the closest sharp object. It's a tough decision, made even tougher, because the longer that we stand here together, the faster my heart pounds, and the want spreads throughout my body like an infestation that I doubt will ever be curable. Confession? I miss him, in more ways than one. One of his large hands moves south, just enough that I feel his palm skate the ridges of my spine. His other stays firmly planted on my upper back, keeping me tied to him, keeping me from fleeing. Which is the ironic thing, as Andre Beaumont is the one who's in the habit of running. Forcing steel into my voice, I say, "Are you done with pulling the macho act?" His rich laughter rustles the top of my hair.
Not a chance in hell.
I inhale sharply, grappling with the decision to stay in his embrace or to push my way to freedom. Briefly, I let my eyes fall shut, just for a moment. You never used to hug me. The words leave me on a shuddered breath, unintentional, and I know the minute they register in his brain because his chest flinches under my cheek.
It wasn't allowed.
It's not allowed now, either. He doesn't answer, not right away, and I wonder if I've made a disastrous mistake bringing up our muddled past. Then, so quietly I barely hear him, he says,
"You're smart for turning me away the other night, Zoe. Trust me on that. We're better off as friends."
The word lands like lead in my belly. Is that what we are? I lick my top lip nervously. Friends? His arms tighten around me.
I've been a shitty one.
You did stick up for me in front of Walter. Thank you for that.
That's the thing, Zoe. You shouldn't even be saying thank you in the first place. It should be expected that I have your back, always.
I'm struggling to find breath, because even though he's telling me everything I've wanted to hear for months now, the words aren't enough. Because you want more. So stupid, but yes, I want more. What if, trailing off, I swallow past the lump in my throat, my nails digging into his back? What if I don't...
I want to be friends with you again, Zoe. You calling me at 2 a.m. just to talk, us going for runs, that sort of thing.
Something in his voice doesn't ring quite right. My fingers find his shirt, and I push back just enough so that I can peer up at his rugged face. Then why bother doing this? Why bother telling me that there's no way we'll have sex again, only for you to try and kiss me the other day? And now this.
Would you believe me if I said that I have a hard time resisting you?
No, I wouldn't. I think you have a hard time resisting temptation, whether it's on or off the ice. No matter what you do, you're always aiming for the sin bin. At that, the pads of his fingers tighten on my back before he lets me go completely. His expression is unreadable, so it's not much of a surprise when he rolls his big shoulders in a shrug and says,
"You're right. I guess I get a thrill out of the chase."
Do not react. Do not react. Do not react. As much as I want to curl into myself at his words, I force a bright smile onto my face. "Stand strong, girl." "Makes sense," I tell him. His dark eyes meet mine, questioning.
"Does it?"
he asks, his voice low. "No, it doesn't." "Sure."
"Right."
I tear my gaze away from his and seat myself at his kitchen island. We need to get back on track. Slipping my hot pink bag from my shoulder, I place it on the table and rifle through the contents. Out comes my laptop, as well as my day planner. I find my hot pink pen in one of the zippered side compartments. Andre's brows pull low.
"You came prepared."
"Prepared for what, though? Prepared to feel desire twine through my limbs? To feel warm and secure and loved, even when he's telling me that I'm better off without him? Somehow, I don't think that's what he means. "We have a lot to talk about," I say instead, opening my laptop and turning it on. "I have a plan." He takes the seat opposite mine, his big shoulders bunching as he plants his forearms on the kitchen island's counter.
"You mentioned that earlier."
Well, isn't he paying attention for once? With a few clicks on my touchpad, I pull up the document I worked on all last night. "How do you feel about kids?" I ask. When he doesn't answer, I glance up and note his horrified expression. "Feel free to stop cupping your testicles, Beaumont. If I needed a sperm donor, you wouldn't be my first choice." His frown cracks, just as I intended it to, but the weirded-out expression on his face stays in place.
"I'd be anyone's first choice,"
he says gruffly. I nod sagely. "Ah, yes, I forgot. You're a god among men." Rolling my eyes, I flip open my day planner to today's date, and then uncap my pen. "All right, we're ready for business. Like I said, I'm not after your little guys. I'm talking about in general. Are you okay with kids? I mean, your sister's little boy is cute."
"Yeah, I'm..."
He coughs into a closed fist.
"I'm good with them."
"Great!" I slide my laptop around, and then use the tip of my pen to tap on the screen. Right there. Andre's mouth moves as he reads the words to himself. 1 second passes, 2 seconds pass. By the time we're nearing 10 seconds, I'm squirming in my seat with nervous anticipation. "So, what do you think?" Dark eyes blink slowly.
"You want us to hold a hockey camp?"
Nerves bundle in my throat, and I push them down and away. "It's the sort of event that most teams do," I say, trying my very best not to let my insecurities rise. "You did it with the Red Wings every year. The Boston Bruins do it, too. But the Blades never have, not once since the franchise started." His teeth momentarily settle over his lower lip. And boy, I wish that one look wasn't so potent.
"This is a big undertaking, Zoe."
"Sure it is, but it's also brilliant. What better way to show the world that you're not completely heartless than by hanging with kids for the afternoon, doing what you do best?"
"Zoe, what I do best is an adults-only party."
My mouth opens, and I go so far as to lift a finger, only to realize that I have nothing to say to that. Except for, "Get your mind out of the gutter."
"I'm just being honest."
"Stop being honest, then." The corners of Andre's eyes crease when he flashes a smile.
"I think you might be the only woman who has ever said that to me."
"Glad to be the first," I reply, before tapping my pen against the laptop screen again. "Really, though, if you think about it, this is great. We'll get the Blades together, the whole team, and invite the media, instead of barking at them."
I don't bark.
Okay. Instead of growling at them, you'll have a nice, polite conversation just like you did at Fame. Maybe we can get the local news station out there, too. Get the whole thing catered.
Will this be held at the garden?
The panicked look has lessened a little, and unless I'm mistaken, he looks intrigued. Intrigued is good. Intrigued is better than what I had expected. In answer to his question, I shake my head. No, I don't think so. If I have my way, and I'm fully aware that this might not happen, I don't want any of this taking place on Blade's turf. It needs to be at a local rink, a place where kids can feel like they're really playing one-on-one with you guys. At the Blade's practice rink or at the garden, it's too formal.
I agree.
For the first time, I think he does agree. And even stranger than that, we might even be on the same page for once. I know it's not a particularly innovative idea, I say quietly, wishing that I didn't sound so uncertain. It's been done before plenty of times, and it really isn't reinventing the wheel, but Andre surprises me by reaching out and placing a hand over mine.
It's a great idea, Zoe.
I blink back my shock. You really think so?
Yeah, I do.
He says, nodding solemnly. Removing his hand from mine, he scrubs it over his face and then blows out a big breath.
What grades are you thinking?
I want to know what he's thinking. What has him suddenly avoiding eye contact? I slam the door on that want and say, kindergarten to eighth grade, both girls and boys. I want everyone to have the chance to take part, and I don't want anyone feeling excluded.
Okay.
Andre shifts on the bar stool.
Let's invite the high school kids, too. They can run personal practices with some of the vets.
Like you? His gaze meets mine.
You want me to stick around with the younger kids instead?
Nodding, I say, I think it'll have the most impact on the public's perception of you.
Okay.
That's all he says. But after a week of arguing back and forth, and a year of silence before that, it's enough. Chapter 17. Zoe. 7 days left. Thanks for agreeing to help me out today, Tia. My younger sister flashes me a big smile from her seat on the metal bleacher. Her feet are stuffed into hockey skates, and there's a glint in her eye when she says, "Did I tell you that my crush is here?" "Yeah?" I lift an eyebrow and peek over my shoulder at the group of kids standing around in skates. "Which one is he?" Tia doesn't have a shy bone in her body, and she thrusts a finger forward, nearly bopping me in the nose with her enthusiastic finger thrusting. "Kyle, see the boy wearing the beanie hat?" Every single one of the young teens is wearing a beanie hat. Yeah. I pretend to consider him, even though I still have no idea which one is her actual crush. "Has he asked you to be his girlfriend yet?" Tia jams her chin on her fist as she slouches down. "Nah, not yet. Maybe he will today." "Probably not. He really likes this girl, Melissa." Call me crazy, but I hate the idea of this Kyle kid choosing someone else over my baby sister. Though, to be fair, having an unrequited crush is par for the course of being a teenager. Andre skirts into my line of vision, and my heart squeezes. Maybe it's part of adulthood, too. Over the last few days, we've surprisingly banded together to get the hockey camp ready in such a short amount of time. The Blades administration thought it was a great idea, and between a small group of us, we managed to pull it together ridiculously fast. Today, the Blades will be joined by 100 local school kids, including my sister and her crush, Kyle. "Zoe?" I turn to my sister. "Mm-hmm." She squirms under my stare. "I don't want to be mean, but, like, would you go and do something else? It's bad enough that Mom told me that she's coming to watch the second half of the day." A burst of laughter escapes me. "What? Am I ruining your game?" "Well, I mean..." She glances away at the rink. "It's just that if you're hanging around, Kyle definitely won't talk to me. So maybe you could... Message received, loud and clear. Planting my hands on my knees, I push to a standing position. Unlike most of the people in the ice rink, I'm not wearing skates. I may have developed a fondness for the game ever since working in Detroit, but I've never developed my ice legs, if you will. Nope. I am currently content to stand on something that isn't frozen over. I'll check on you in a little bit, I say. Or is that still too much for you? Tia shrugs. It'll do. It'll do. So proper. Tucking my binder under one arm, I climb down over the bleachers until I'm back on the first level. Today's event is officially scheduled to begin in 30 minutes. After I discussed everything with Andre, it was relatively easy to pull Gwyn in on the job. She knows countless media contacts in the area, and within 3 days, we had a waiting list for people who wanted to bear witness to the Blades' first youth hockey camp. Even Walter managed to drum up some excitement in the last few days leading up to the event. The man hasn't stopped singing my praises at the office, which is a major turn of events after the famed Speedo debacle. But it wasn't Golden Lights Media or my coworkers who turned out to be the most excited about today. One meeting with Andre and his teammates were bursting at the seams with anticipation. Then again, that might be because Andre left them little to no choice. Either they showed up and made the day a success, or he threatened to take it out on them in practice. With one glance around the rink, it's safe to say that they all showed up. As I'm shuffling my binder into my bag, I sense Andre's presence just before I hear his rough voice.
You pulled it off, Zoe.
My eyes close at the nickname. No, I say, as he steps in front of me. We did it. Seriously, I couldn't have pulled this off without you. His fingers brush mine, and I lift my gaze to his masculine face. Hard jawline, soft full lips, high cheekbones. The man is too handsome for his own good.
How about we agree to disagree, then?
I tilt my head. Do you even know how?
How to what?
Agree with someone, I say with a smile. I didn't think it was in your genetics. He returns my smile, albeit his is a little rustier.
It's a learned skill set. Thankfully, my teachers have let me out of their evil lair.
Overhead, I hear the speakers kick on as the Blades' coach, Hall, takes to the microphone to introduce the players one by one. Shouldn't you go over there? I ask. Rejoin your brethren for the day's activities? Slowly, he shakes his head.
I will, but not yet. First, I need you to do something for me.
Immediately, my brain goes to the direst situation. A kid has landed on a skate. A kid has thrown a puck at somebody's face. A player has accidentally whacked a kid with a stick. Andre's hand touches my shoulder, then cups the curve of my neck with a deep laugh.
Slow down, Zoe. You're already thinking the worst.
Well, yeah, I mutter. But look where we are. It's a liability waiting to happen, which is why we have insurance in case something happens.
Nothing is going to happen.
At his confident tone, I shake my head. You don't know that.
I know it well enough.
His hand leaves my neck to tug at my purse's shoulder strap.
I'm going to need you to put this somewhere, preferably behind the front counter.
My nose scrunches. Why?
It's a surprise.
I don't do surprises.
Sure you do.
His big body corrals me backward until my feet are moving on their own accord to the front counter. Andre lifts my purse and gives it to the kid behind the desk.
Give me a pair of skates for her, would you? Size.
He glances down at me with an arched brow.
What size do you think you are?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I'm not skating, I say hastily. You know that I don't skate. His mouth curls into a sexy grin.
Just as I know that we've been talking about getting you into a pair for 2 years now. Come on, Zoe,
he murmurs silkily.
Don't let me down now.
My heart pounds in my chest. Today is for the kids, I squeak out pathetically. That sexy grin of his grows wider.
And it's also for you, you've never let me see you on the ice before.
That's because I spend most of the time on my butt. I see the devilry in his eyes just before he murmurs,
"There are a lot of ways to make you feel better after."
He's a walking hazard, that's for sure. I eye a pair of black hockey skates, dreading the words that I know are about to trip off my tongue. What if I say yes?
To putting on a pair of skates and getting out there?
Yes. He steps close, so close that I can catch his delicious scent.
I won't let you fall.
My breath hitches. That's good.
I promise it'll be better than good.
And with that promise, he brushes his fingers against my lower back and steps away, leaving me wanting yet again.
Chapter 18. Andre. It's safe to say that Zoe sucks on the ice. It's also safe to say that I haven't had this much fun in a long time. You gotta... I break off at the sight of her legs wobbling like a newborn fawn's. Pushing off my heels, I skate toward her, wrapping an arm around her slim waist just before she would have gone down. Zoe, I say, glancing down at her beautiful face, you can do better than this. Her hands push at my chest. I told you, she grumbles miserably, I suck at skating. Just let me stay on solid ground and I'll be okay. We are standing on solid ground. It's frozen water, which is solid, otherwise we'd be swimming up to our calves. Her mouth purses, but I can tell she's holding in a smile. Stop being so literal. Stop being such a worrywart. Squeezing her once, I set her free and retreat from her tempting-as-hell body. You need to stop thinking that you're going to land on your ass. That's because I am going to land on my ass. Rolling my eyes, I hold out a hand, palm up. I shouldn't be surprised when she doesn't immediately take it, no doubt worried that I'll pull a dirty prank and send her flying to the ground. I wait her out. 1, 2, 3. With a sigh of frustration, she gives in, dropping her hand into mine. God, it feels good. Holding her hand isn't remotely sexual, but after having no contact with her for months, it feels like everything I've ever needed. My voice emerges, deep and gravelly. You ready? No. Zoe, didn't I promise that I wouldn't let you fall? After that, her dark eyes fix unblinking on my face, and I feel that one look like a sucker punch to the gut, because I can see what she's thinking as if she'd voiced her thoughts out loud. Why did you have sex with me, knowing that I'd already fallen? Because I couldn't say no. Because I needed her like I needed air to breathe and water to drink. Because I'd needed her, the way that I still need her. I won't let you fall, I tell her, in more ways than one. And then we're moving together. She struggles at first, no doubt because her ankles are weak. I order her to push with her thighs, to let her feet just be the vehicle that brings her forward. Her hand stays in mine until I grab two hockey sticks and hand her one. Take it. She does so with a worried grimace. Weren't you ever told not to hand a weapon over to a woman? I laugh loudly. You gonna beat me with the stick, Zoe? I've certainly thought about it, she grumbles. She stabs the hook of the stick into the ice like a pillar to the ground herself. But it has the opposite effect. The abrupt downward thrust has her legs shaking, her skates moving, and the next thing I know, Zoe has slid down the stick like a stripper on a pole. But with less elegance, that's for sure. I think I need to call it a day, she says, staring up at the rink's ceiling as she lay comatose on the ice. My vanity can't take another wipeout. I crouch down beside her. You didn't do half bad. But it wasn't half good either. She sounds so miserable that I can't help myself. I touch her. My fingers brush her exposed collarbone, drifting up to the underside of her chin. Her breath stutters out against the rough pads of my fingers when I skim her lips, pressing my thumb to the center of her lower lip, tugging down. Jesus, I want her. I've always wanted her, from the very first moment we were introduced so long ago. Andre, she whispers. Does she want me? That's the question at hand here. I've told her no. I've told her that we aren't ever going to happen again. Less than 30 days later, and I'm willing to renege on all of that just for one single taste of her lips. One taste will never be enough. No, but it'll have to do.